All right, let's open in our Bibles tonight to the 9th chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 9. All right, Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35, Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, a harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and as we spend just a few moments in it tonight, Lord, I ask that you would bless us and show us what you'd have us to see today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is the passage that I have in my pastor's report, and I thought, well, I'll just speak on this tonight anyway, because I think this is an important topic for us. It's easy for a church to kind of get off base and lose our focus, what we're here for. And if we go back to the Great Commission, we talked a little bit about it in Mark this morning in Sunday school, that the Great Commission is to preach the gospel to every creature, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's our responsibility. And it's good that we're distributing tracts. That's a part of the preaching the gospel process. And we should all be involved in that. It's something we can do painlessly and not have to worry about being given funny faces or rejected by that. And so that's a part of it, but it also goes beyond that. And if our church is ever going to grow, we've got to be very evangelistic. I was reading in the Sword of the Lord today, they were talking... No, it wasn't Sword of the Lord. It was a different magazine that I was reading this afternoon. But they were talking about how church plants, new churches, are much more evangelistic than established churches, and how it's easier for church plants to grow than it is for an established church. Because the mindset in a church plant, and the picture that they painted in the article I was reading, was that in a church plant, you're usually meeting in a rented room or a rented building, like a YMCA or a public school building. And you get the idea of having a pioneering spirit that you need to go out and build the congregation. And so they have that mentality. But an established church, a lot of people come into the established church, they're not hearing a church plan, and we kind of fit in, and we don't have that evangelistic fervor. And so we get out of focus as a church, and we lose that. And that's a hard thing to regain. And so I think that as a church, I think this is where we need to be. We need to gather our focus again and see this is why God has us here. Passing out tracts, as I said, is a start, but we need to take it to the next level. And so I'd like to speak just a few minutes on this passage of Scripture. In verse number 35, we see, first of all, Jesus' activity. He went about all the cities and villages. When he went about the cities and villages, there were three things he was doing. He was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. Now the healing, first of all, served as evidence of his divine authority because he spoke of spiritual things. He took the word of God and he taught on that. And the healing gave authority to his teaching because the Jews weren't used to an average person going out and teaching the word of God. They were used to the Pharisees or the Sadducees doing that. And so the healings served as evidence of his divine authority, but it also served as evidence of his love and compassion, that he truly cared about the people to whom he preached and he taught. Now, it's interesting that we see he both taught and he preached. They are not the same thing. I've read a lot of books in Acts chapter 4 when it talks about the four gifts that God gives to a church, that of the apostles, of missionaries, or evangelists, and pastors, teachers. And they say pastors, teachers is one role. I've known pastors that that's all they ever did was teach. And they never preached. That will not build a church. But I also know pastors that preach and don't teach. And that will not build a church either. A pastor needs to be both a preacher and a teacher. And as we go out, we need to be both a preacher and a teacher. And this is where ladies get to be a preacher, because they can preach the Word of God, which just means actually just share the Word of God through evangelization, but we also need to be teaching the truth and teaching the difference between right and wrong. That was Jesus' activity, and this depicts him as being very busy, going about all the cities and all the villages. Now, that's interesting. Why the distinction? Why the two? Why didn't he just say, just went to all the cities? Why add villages in there? What it's telling us is he's going to every creature. He's telling all about the gospel, giving each and every one the opportunity. This would be similar to another passage that says to go into the highways and the byways. What God says is don't overlook anybody. Sometimes we might pass someone and we say, well, I don't want to give the gospel to them. They look like a pretty shady character. They look pretty rough. They're probably drunk or on drugs. And so we pass by them. When God is pricking our heart and saying, give them a track. Share the gospel with that one. You see, Jesus went everywhere. We're to do the same. We're to let God do the choosing, and we just follow his lead. And so that's Jesus' activity. We see his attitude in verse 36. Jesus' attitude, he was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. Now, his compassion was for two reasons. First of all, they fainted. They were very weak. They had been following him in the wilderness without enough to eat or without anything to eat. And so they were growing physically faint. But I think probably his concern was more over their spiritual welfare. And that has to do with them scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They had no one to lead them spiritually. Certainly they had the Pharisees, but Jesus compared the Pharisees to the blind leading the blind. He says they'll both fall into the ditch. He talks in another place about making them more fold of a disciple of hell than they were. They had no spiritual leadership to teach them the truths of God's Word. And there's so many out there today that may be in church and we think, well, I don't need to share the gospel with them. They go to church all the time. Just because someone goes to church does not mean they're saved. Especially some of the churches in our community. They don't hear the gospel. If they go to the Roman Catholic Church, they never hear the gospel there. What they hear is keep the sacraments and we'll get you in heaven. But you got to keep coming because we won't get you in heaven if you're not a part of Mother Church. That's not the gospel. They're going to hell if they believe that and if they follow that. And unless you tell them the truth, they'll never hear. We need to be moved with compassion because there are so many in our society, in our world today, that are as sheep without a shepherd. They may have a pastor standing behind a pulpit talking about something on Sunday mornings, but they're not sharing the Word of God. They're not saved themselves in many instances and situations. So we've got to be moved with compassion, full of activity and moved with compassion as Jesus was. In verses 37 and 38, we see Jesus' assessment. Jesus' assessment. Verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The first thing we see is the harvest is plenteous. Now, as Jesus was looking around and the disciples were looking around, they were out in the fields and they'd see the crops, and chances are the crops weren't ready to be harvested, otherwise that's what the people would be doing, instead of gathering around listening to his teaching. And so Jesus must have shocked them a little bit to say the harvest is plenteous. But the point that Jesus is trying to say is I'm not talking about the wheat or the barley or whatever it was that was in the fields at that time. Jesus said, I'm talking about these souls that are in front of us. What Jesus is trying to say is there are souls just waiting to hear the gospel so that they can be saved. Now, not everyone wants to hear. We all know that. But there are some. And Jesus uses the word plenteous. Now, if I get something to eat for dinner, I want it to be plenteous. Okay, I don't have much patience or tolerance for a diet, unless it's the seafood diet where you eat everything you can see. Now, I'm good for that diet. Yeah. When Jesus is talking about the harvest of souls, he says it's plenteous. He says there is plenty to go around. There's plenty for everyone if we'll just go out and labor in his harvest field. Many in number. He also mentions that it's prepared. that it's prepared. The idea, now he doesn't bring it up here, but in, I believe it's the book of John, he talks about the fields being white unto harvest. And my understanding of the white unto harvest is that it's ready to pick. And talking about the spiritual harvest, God says it's ripe, it's ready. It just needs someone to go out and gather it in. He also implies that the harvest is perishing. If the harvest isn't taken off, it'll all go to waste. It won't stay on those plants forever and stay usable. At least the way I understand, I could be wrong. And so is the harvest of souls. We're not going to have forever to win souls to Christ. They're not going to get saved just by accident. They're only going to get saved if we intentionally make it a point to try to share the gospel with them. And so the harvest is plenteous, it's prepared, it's perishing. But the problem is, in Jesus' assessment, his second part of the assessment is that the laborers are paltry. Paltry means very small or too small in amount. He says the laborers are few. The laborers are few. There are so few Christians who actually share the gospel with a lost person with the intention of winning them to Christ. And when we have organized visitation, I want to get it started this week, but I don't have a night where I'm not doing anything this week, so we'll wait till next week and get it started. But how many of us will show up on Thursday night for our church visitation and soul winning? We're all busy, and that's why I say as a church we need to refocus. What is our purpose, both as a church and as individuals? Is it to stay home and watch our television show? Or is it to win souls for Christ? Jesus says the laborers are paltry, not because he hasn't saved enough to win the world, but because those that are saved that are supposed to win the world aren't making an effort. We bought into the lies that going door to door isn't for today. Well, I don't have the, well, as they say, I didn't get the memo that was taken off the list of things for the church to do. We still see it going two by two in the Word of God. And so that is our responsibility. We're supposed to share with everyone who we can get to listen. But too often we're more afraid of our popularity than we are with the individual soul. That was the point of the message this morning. We need to realize that hell is real. Unless they get saved, they're going there. And they may not realize the love that we have for them, but I'd rather have them hate me now and appreciate the love I tried to demonstrate when they're in hell burning than to have them love me now and hate me then. The laborers are paltry. When's the last time you shared the gospel verbally with a lost person? Think about it. When's the last time you did? That you thought, you didn't, maybe didn't know, but you thought that person was lost, and you shared the gospel. You know, a good way to lead into it, because people, if you just say, hey, are you a Christian? You know what they're going to say? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian all my life. Then what do you say? It's kind of awkward when you say, well, how do you know that? I mean, some people can do it, but I always feel like I'm challenging them, calling them a liar when I do that. So I find a good way to lead into it is, you know, if you stood before God and he asked you why he should let you into his heaven, what would you tell him? And that's where the rubber meets the road, because most people will stall. I mean, they'll just be stumped. They don't have a clue. And then they'll come out with something to the effect of, well, I try to be a good person. And then you know this one's lost. They're trying to work their way there. And so then you go into verses out of Ephesians chapter 2, that is by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so I would recommend taking that route. But when's the last time you did that? Intentionally trying to win someone to Christ. That's why we're here. If we're not doing that, we're not obedient to God. Because he tells us in the Great Commission, in John, he says, Even as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, he says, "And ye shall be witnesses." And so when's the last time? You see, the laborers are paltry. Not because there aren't enough Christians in the world to win the world, but because the Christians in the world aren't making an effort. The third part of his assessment is he gives us the solution. You know, we can wring our hands. How do we build a church? How do we grow a church? How do we win souls to Christ? And Jesus says, well, here's how it's done in verse 38. The first word sums it all up. Was that a little four-letter word? I'm afraid with so many Christians it is a four-letter word, isn't it? Pray. Pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, we're not running over with young adults that have the energy and the time to invest into the Lord's work. Well, how do we get them? Do we have programs? And we do have things for the young adults to try to attract them and make them feel comfortable here. Is that how we get them in? No. God says right here how we get them in. We need more workers in the children's ministry. How do we get them? We pray. We pray to the one who sends them. And so, this is the solution to church growth. The basis is prayer, but sometimes we have to just determine to be the answer to that prayer and be willing to go and be used of God however he calls us to. And if we're not sharing the gospel, as I said, we're not obedient to God. And so we need to refocus. I think that we as a church have lost sight of that. And the answer to that is, you know, when's the last time you shared the gospel verbally? We're doing better at doing tracts, and I hope we keep that up and then even improve on passing out tracts. But we need to take it to the next step, take it to the next level, if we're to do what we're supposed to do as a church. Father, we're grateful for your word and how you instruct us with what you want from us. Father, now help us to be honest with our own hearts. How do we stand in this area of personal evangelism, of soul winning? And Father, we know you win the souls, but it's our responsibility to share the gospel. Father, where do we stand in sharing the gospel with others? Father, help us all to improve for your glory and for souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.